Hello, this is Pastor Jay, and this is your word of wisdom for today. A haughty spirit brings about destruction, and pride brings about a fall. That's a guarantee. What God is saying, when you want to carry a haughty spirit, it will bring about your destruction. And if you want to carry your pride, it will guarantee that you eventually will fall. You would think with that kind of warning, people would understand that the best way to deal with any situation is being humble. Because when you're humble, you've laid your pride aside, so you won't fall. When you're humble, you won't lead yourself into destruction. So you think about it today as you deal with people who are going to challenge you and test you on your ability to be humble. They're just simply testing what God said. Are you haughty, heading for destruction? Or are you prideful, headed towards a fall? This is Pastor Jay. Like, subscribe, and share, and I'll see you on the other side. Peace.
Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in His house. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. Yeah. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Y'all don't know what that means, do you? When I got saved, I said, yes, Lord. I guess I'm the only one. I said, yes, Lord. I said, Lord, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for going to the cross for me. And then he said, what you going to say? I say, yes, Lord. Lord, that's so powerful. Y'all just don't even know. When you say yes to the Lord, you say no to the devil. Amen. Amen. So you just got to learn how to just be obedient and say, yes, Lord. Half the trouble we get in because we don't say yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he knows. He just sit back and look at you and say, poor thing. All they got to do is say what? Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Walk with True Christian Fellowship Church. Wherever you may be listening from around the world, we thank you. Because you can be doing anything else but listening to us. But we hope that you will hear something today that you may ask the angel question, what must I do to be saved? So I just want to get started today. We're going to get started with scripture and prayer from Brother Marvin. Then we're going to have exhortation from Minister Kay. And then we're going to move forward in the word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. There you go. Somebody got it.
Amen.
Amen.
How y'all doing this morning? It's a wonderful morning, ain't it?
Yes, Lord.
It's a glorious morning.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
All right. I'm going to have some scripture from Ephesians 1. 3-10, and it reads, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Christ Jesus, in according with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us, the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
God bless the hearers and the doers. Amen.
Amen.
Let us all pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the riches and glory that you've given us, Heavenly Father, and the ones that you have for us, Heavenly, stored up in heaven. We thank you for this to come in one accord, giving you all the glory, Heavenly Father. Let us be mindful of what we say to others, Heavenly Father. Let us show love to one another, Heavenly Father, not just us inside here, but outside these walls, Heavenly Father. Let us continue to give you all the glory and praises, Heavenly Father. Let us just be understanding to one another, Heavenly Father, to the needs. Let us always lend an ear when needed. Let us all just love you for the rest of our lives, Heavenly Father, because you are in charge, Heavenly Father. We thank you. But most of all, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the greatest gift of all, the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, y'all. Let's not say, let's get along. Yeah. 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 I don't know about y'all today, but I can't be crazy. See, I don't know. You know, every time a day going through something, we're going to go through something. We hear that all the time. I'm going through this. I'm going through that. Yeah, me too. So I ain't picking on y'all. Me too. But you know what? He said, take it to the cross. He ain't said get up on the cross and nail yourself back to it. Because you know, one thing I know is that when Christ went on that cross, he died for everything that we're going through right now. It tells us in the Bible, past, present, and future.
Yep.
Right? So y'all, you know what we're going to do from this point on, even though it ain't no problem with sharing it. But what we going to do, we're going to stand on the word of God. Because the word of God has something for everything that we go through. Mm-hmm. And the reason that we go through certain things is to build a strength. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got something for you to do. Yep. And you can't do it unless you know how to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go through something, right? And learn how to do it right. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because you know, it's something about the name of Jesus. See, he ain't go to that cross for no reason.
Right.
None at all. He said he died for all men and rose again on the third day to save us. Wait, can you get it?
Yes,
can
Lord.
You get it?
Yes,
like,
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
I can't hear y'all. Y'all scared to tell the Lord yet.
Yes, Lord.
Have mercy on their soul, Lord.
Yes,
I tell you one thing, y'all. On. You just got to remember, like I say, everybody go through. And we're going to, you know, I go through. Mm. But I remember what Christ said. He said, in him, I'm a new creation. And if you're a new creation, guess what? That old thing that's supposed to be passed away gonna keep on come nagging you. Because I want you back over him. But you be like, no, I want to stay here with Jesus. Because he done a lot more than what you going to do for me. Because you taking me directly to hell. And I want to go to that heavenly place. And the only way you can get to that heavenly place is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And like he said, everything you need help for, everything that you go through, he said you're going to go through it. And if you need him, all you got to do is say, yes, Lord, I need you. I need you today, every minute, every second, every hour. So no matter what that thing looked like, it is not bigger than God. Amen.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Again, we can, in our private time, we can say, yes, Lord. It is so... You can be distracted by a lot of things, and that will take you away from saying yes, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, we're still in 1 Corinthians. You can go there. And the main passage is still 12 or 13. This is part 2. Don't you let your liberty be a liability. Part 2 is going to be, is the liberty that you're taking liberating? Is the liberty that you take it liberating? You'd have to go back and look at the first one and maybe the Bible study we did on that to get the background. But from verses 1 through 11, Paul is telling this church that's gifted about how the Jews had everything going on like they had it going on. You think about it. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, when they came out of Egypt, they were baptized into the blessings of Moses. God provided, Jehovah Jireh provided for them in the wilderness food, water, and shelter. It was such a blessing that even though they walked around in circles for 40 years because of disobedience, their clothes and their sandals did not wear out. That's why it's a blessing. But also they understood that they, about time Abraham come along, that they had a covenant with God. They were a special people chosen out by God for his purpose to be the light unto the rest of the Gentile world. But sometimes when you're chosen, you just take it a little bit too far. You become overconfident. You think because you've chosen that you actually are real special. Special to the point that no matter what happens, your behavior doesn't have anything to do with you carrying what God has called you to do. See, a lot of times when God calls us out to be special, He's calling us into a period of testing so that we can build our character so that we can carry the gift that he gives us. I'm going to say that again. There's always a time for those who were chosen out that's given a gift, that gift has to be cultivated in trials, tribulations, and testing. Mm. What we want to do is think the gift overrides our behavior, and that's not true. Mm. What happens is when your character can't carry the gift, your behavior put that gift right in the trash. Wow. Because the gift is given for one reason, not to prosper you, but to prosper everybody else.
Right.
We're in this for each other, not for ourselves.
Right.
And the church in America has become upside down because we're excited more over gifting than character.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
We pat people on the back for their gift, but then their character, we like, oh, but they just like us.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll let it go. We'll let it slide because we're more comfortable with that. But see, Paul was trying to tell them, they had every opportunity, they had every liberty, but what they did choose to use their liberty was into idolatry. When you take your liberty too far beyond what God has put the boundaries, you'll roll right into idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you have God has delivered you from something and you walk back up to that thing and cross right back over?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Maybe I'm the only one. But yeah, God has delivered me from some things, but I thought that I was strong enough.
Right.
You know, I got the Holy Ghost in me, so I can walk up to that line. And see them other people on the other line, or their attitude on the other side, or whatever it is on the other side that he delivered me from, what ends up happening is that I walk up to the line, and I start shouting over the line. And then I figure, since I done shouted over the line, maybe I can go across the line and come back if I have to. It's like this person, the person who drinks two drinks and that's enough, and the third drink take them over the top.
Right.
The Bible giving us some ways to handle some things.
Thank you, Lord.
The church can handle some things if it goes by what God says. But when we lean onto our own understanding, we're going to always cross that line with our liberty. You are big and bad and grown enough to do whatever you want to do. You got that. God has freed you to do whatever you want to do. Even in it started in the Garden of Eden. Eden, he told him what? You can eat everything around here. Everything. You have the liberty to enjoy this, enjoy that, talk to the animals, name the animals, have fun, procreate. But there's one thing I don't want you to do. And haven't y'all found out when y'all got that one thing you're not supposed to do, that's like a beacon to say, come on. It's like, clean, don't eat, clean. Anyway, and the devil never makes you do anything. What the devil is appeals to your desire to have what you're not supposed to have.
Come on.
He just makes an appeal.
Yeah.
He says, what if? Did God say? Did he really mean that? Or will you really die? And then he just lets you go on with your grown self. Well, it ain't going to be too bad. You know, if I just get over and try and come on back. You know, and she say, oh, this is pleasing to look at. And because it's pleasing to look at, it might be good to eat.
Yeah.
And why would God, he gave us everything else. That tree looked different from any other tree. Only because God said don't do it.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that what God tell you don't do start looking better to you?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I say, God, just leave them alone. They wouldn't pay no attention to it. But what God is trying to do is let you see that you got something in you that'll drive you right over the top.
Mm.
And all of us have it in us.
Yes.
It's not a me thing, it's a we thing.
There you go.
All of us fall to the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eye, pride of life.
Yep.
We all have that still in us, working its way through us, being challenged by the Holy Spirit that lives in you.
Mm-hmm.
The war is never external. The test is external, given by God, but the temptation is inside of you.
That's right.
God doesn't tempt you, he tests you to see if you're going to be tempted. Okay? He wants to see how far you've matured in what he said. Are you going to go with what you think, what you feel, and how you feel? Or are you going to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do what you told me to do?
Amen.
You see? It's so simple. One of the little children can understand that. But as we become adults, like I say, we get caught up into who we think we are and forget who we belong to.
That's right.
We forget that all the time.
Yeah.
All right, let's open up our Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And And verse 12, just verse 12 right now. Go ahead.
1 Corinthians 10, 12. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall.
Therefore, if anyone what? Thinks. It's in your mind, in your imagination. Mm-hmm. You think you're standing for God, but you need to take heed lest you fall. Well, what does it have to do with? What they thought was because they had every gift that they couldn't fall. But I'm challenging you, because you're gifted, you're more likely to fall.
Yeah.
Because God has given you something that's unique for the body of Christ. If you rely on that gift versus the character, what God is building in you, you will, matter of fact, you will fall. Because you think you're standing on something. And it's the people of God that get you thinking that. Mm-hmm. Get you thinking you all that in a bag of chips. Oh, well, they teach good. They preach good. I like what they say. Sometimes you reckon them. Because they just human. And everybody like to be pat on the back. Okay. Y'all gonna sit here and act like y'all knew it is. Everybody like to be pat on the back. But see, a mature saint, a mature person with a gift will understand, you are only patting me on the back of what God gave me. Give God the glory for what's in me.
Yes.
Because just like he gave it to me, guess what? He can give it to you. But there's something in you that I should be patting you on the back for. Maybe it's not a seen gift. Maybe it's because you pray for the church. I need to come pat you on the back, because you know what? I can feel your prayers. Maybe it's because you're faithful. I can count on you being here on time. Thank you, Sister Joyce. I can count on you being here on time so we won't waste time. You see, it's that unseen stuff that people don't see that shows you got character. But you big and bad, you're going to do what you want to do. And you expect God to bless your mess. So take heed lest you fall. What is he telling them? What he's trying to explain to them is that your liberty should liberate you to do what's right. I'm going to say that again. Your liberty should liberate you to do what's right. Because you are saved, you have a choice to do what's right. And when you don't do what's right, you're going to fall into sin. I don't care what you've been through in life. I don't care how bad your life was. Who are you now? I'm tired of saints living below their praise.
Come on. Lord, have mercy.
You praying, you rest in your prayer and trust God in your prayer, and then you got to praise, and then you living below your praise. You're supposed to live on top of your praise.
Come on, go ahead.
Hallelujah, man.
But you're thinking too much and not worshiping enough.
Yes, yes.
Wow. You're talking too much and not walking by faith.
Yes, yes.
No.
The Bible says, walk in the light. Ask who is in the light. He is in the light. Yes. And his blood will continue to cleanse you of all sin. He said, confess your sins, and he was what? Faithful to forgive you. So what you scared of? You overconfidence in the superficial and don't walk in the supernatural. God has delivered you. You have no excuse not to do what he say. He loved you enough, and he bought you with a price, and you belong to him. He said, what you do, you are enslaved to. Are you enslaved to this world still and its worldly thinking and its worldly ways? Or are you delivered from that and can walk in victory? If you think that you're standing, take heed. Think about it, lest you fall. It's easier to fall when I'm so close to sin. It's easier to fall when I ignore what I know about God. When I make a reason, an excuse, and I've realized this, y'all, and I've expressed this to most of you. I can understand why you don't want to come. I can understand why you don't want to walk in victory. Because there's a level of attention that you get when you're in misery. There's a level of hugs that you get and when you're downtrodden. But when you walk in the light as he is in the light, at that point, when the light
cleanses you of all unrighteousness, and God has forgiven you of your sins, you are accountable and responsible for what happens next.
Yep.
Because what you're saying is that which I went through don't have no hold on me no more.
Right. Yeah.
I'm a new creation walking in victory.
Yes.
I'm not what I used to be.
Yeah.
I'm who God says I am today. So I'm not going to allow you or anybody else to talk about me like I was. You need to talk to me like I am. But am I really manifesting who I am?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I jumping back and forth? Mm-hmm. Victory is, man, I'm so pitiful. Victory is, man, I'm so sad. You can't do that.
Right.
You confuse people.
Yes.
It's almost like you're schizophrenic. And I'm not saying, you know, don't get me wrong, because Lord knows.
Yeah.
But you just need to believe in the God that you say you serve.
Right.
So God says, what's next? He talks about the overcoming. See what he says next. Go ahead, read 13.
No temptation has overtaken you.
Stop. No temptation has overtaken you. Y'all repeat that. Say it.
No temptation.
Now, overtaking me, trapped you, put you down, held you down, stopped you from moving forward. There's no temptation that can stop you from moving forward.
Amen.
There's no temptation. That word temptation and test are kind of synonymous. So right now, he's talking about test. There's no test that can stop you from moving forward. See, when that test becomes a temptation, he even says when it becomes a temptation, it shouldn't stop you.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't overtake you. It shouldn't just over engulf you. It should not take over your personality as a saint.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It should actually, you should see it coming and say, I'm gonna strengthen in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I see you coming.
Yes.
And thank you, God, for testing me, but I'm gonna pass this one.
Yes.
Because you said there's no temptation that can overtake me. That means it can't conquer you.
Mm-hmm.
And if it does, you let it.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
See how I get back to you? See, you got to be accountable for this word.
Yeah.
That's why I had y'all say it out loud. So when y'all let something happen to you that overtakes you, that's temptation and the test that leads you into sin, it's your fault. Because you said it.
Amen.
You said it. I didn't. Y'all said it. I bet you ain't going to say it again, are you? Jesus, bless their hope. My brothers and sisters, y'all got to realize y'all got more power than you
Amen.
Believe.
Come on.
He said, because you say, can't nothing overtake you unless you let it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you run back to that old way.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you let that person that got your number call you up and you talk to them. Uh-huh. You go to the bar talking about you going to save some people at the bar. You the biggest drunk inside the bar. You going around talking about weed is legal. In your mind, you can't even count to five. One, two, five.
Come on.
Man, gone.
Watch out, man. Look out.
And you're supposed to be a witness for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says the one fruit of the Spirit is called self-control. We don't live for the weekend. We live for Christ.
Amen.
We don't live for Easter. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. What you talking about?
Yes.
I'm going to say yes, Lord, every Sunday.
Yes.
I don't care how I feel, it's still yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If Adam would have said yes, Lord, and Eve would have said yes, Lord, we wouldn't be in this predicament.
Yeah.
But the Israelites didn't say yes, Lord. Soon as their preacher, who were they baptizing, who was the messenger of God, come save them. They watched the rivers being parted. They watched the Pharaoh being drowned. They watched all the plagues coming down. And as soon as the man of God went to go talk to the God that delivered them, what they do? They said, no, Lord, we're going to make a calf and some idols. And then you get in the wilderness, and then you start complaining. Well, when we was back in slavery, they used to feed us real good. So God said, okay, I'm going to feed you. Well, you know, when we was in slavery, we had water to drink. God said, I'm going to give you water.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says it's the rock. Jesus, he was the rock that followed them through the wilderness. They say it's real hot out here in the daytime. He said, I'm going to give you cover by day.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, the desert is cold at night. He said, I'm going to give you heat by night.
Yeah.
I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider.
Come on.
So you can say yes, Lord.
Yes.
Yeah.
You see? But see, when you have that much liberty and that much gifting and that much privilege, sometimes you got to be careful.
Yes.
Because you think God owe it to you. You think it's like me and you making a transaction. No, 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 no. He don't got to give. He doesn't have to do anything for you. You were created to worship him. He wasn't created to worship you. And sometimes in our pulpit, we get it mixed up. We get it mixed up as God's whole purpose is to give us, give us, give us. He gave you salvation. What more do you want to give? Some of this stuff you praying for, he said, you can go get it, get some more education. You want more money? Get learn a new field. You keep talking to me and I'm telling you, I didn't tell you not to go to school. Well, I'm too old. That's on you if you think you're too old. You see how it all ends up back at you to make a decision? You're tested. If God put on your heart to do something, don't make excuses to why you can't. But see, that's walking up to that line and crossing over. You're letting that test overtake you. Okay? You let it overtake you. Read that first part again, Frida.
No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man.
God. Now what is it? Hold on. Now we learn another part of the test. It's very common. I know that you think what you're going through is so personally you that nobody else on the planet going through what you go through. I can guarantee you this. There's somebody going through exactly what you're going through. There's somebody going through less than what you're going through. And there's definitely somebody going through more than what you're going through. So don't think that you're so special in your going through. It's common. It's common as dust. It's common as dirt. It's everywhere somebody going through. But the Bible just said, I cannot let it overtake me. So it's common. Jesus is saying, he's telling them, whatever y'all going through at the church of Corinth at this time, because they going through a lot of sin and a lot of correction, he said, don't think God picking on you. See, some of y'all think God picking on you. No, you made some bad decisions to put yourself in that situation. They know I used to say, there's a difference between persecution for Christ's sake and prosecution for the dumb decisions that you make. I made a dumb decision and I got prosecuted. That was not persecution. Now, if they take me to jail for preaching the gospel, now I'm being persecuted. Okay? So y'all have to make these distinctions as you're being tested to see what the test is for. See if you go, and then all of it ends back up. Are you going to stand on what you know about God? But most of you don't know nothing about God. You know the cliches, but you don't know nothing about this word. It's the word to which you stand. It's the goodness that God leads me to repentance. Where do I find his goodness in his word? I don't find it outside his word. I might see some goodness in you that's God, but you know what? I can't stand on you all the time. Sometimes I can't get to you. I need to be able to stand on that word that's hidden in my heart. And then what did the Bible say? We have this word in our heart, we might not what? Sin against him. See, he gives you the way out. He gives you the way of escape. He said, if you stand on my word, you won't sin. How much more easier can it get than that? So you should endeavor to understand his word in context, not in your imagination. Make spiritual things spiritual. Make water water when it's water. Don't make it something else. The Nile is the Nile. It doesn't represent anything else. The Nile is dirty and it's not the sin of man. The Nile can't get dirty enough to be as dirty as man. Okay? Stop that. Just simply stop it. And that's another thing. Write down on a piece of paper, when you get ready to sin, just put, stop that. That's what God's telling you, stop it. Well, Pastor, you know it's hard. Okay. It's common. Stop it. Okay? You're not special. You're just a sinner being tested. And God says, don't let it overtake you. And he said, I'm going to give you a way out. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it.
So in other words, he provides your way out, and he provides the journey on your way to get out. That's where you're going to need the endurance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, the journey to get out may be long and arduous, meaning that you may have to climb a couple of mountains trusting God to get out of that thing. Yeah. Okay? It's not going to happen instantaneously. Yeah. It's a test, y'all. It's not, what test is you taking in school that was instantaneous? You had 100 questions you had to answer in 60 minutes. It takes time to get to the end of the test, and you have to endure this thing. And the Bible says endure like a good heart soldier that's been trained by God and raised by the Holy Spirit, and you know who you are in Christ Jesus. So when you start climbing the mountain of the test, God is watching you, God is waiting for you, and God said, don't let it overtake you, because I got a blessing I want to overtake you with.
Amen.
There's something I want to give you if you endure this thing. But so many of us, we walk up to that line. And again, the line comes in many different forms. It can be the way we act, the manifestation. You think it's like this stuff we can see. I'm talking about most of the time, I'm talking about your mindset. Yes. You walk up to that old mindset all the time. Mm-hmm. I listen to some of y'all, and I just smile. Poor thing. They ain't walking in victory. Mm-hmm. They still walk with anchor around their neck. Mm-hmm. They think they're saying the right thing, but I can see it's not manifesting in their life. Mm-hmm. Because they won't get rid of something. The one thing that's going to keep you all the time in bondage to all things of the world is your pride. I got a right to hang on to this. Because I went through it. Huh? Didn't Jesus have a right to say no, not to the cross? But I think Jesus said, yes, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done.
Yes.
You say the right things, but you haven't let the right things deal with your own pride. You always work with somebody else. I may look like a punk. Mm-hmm. If I let them get over on me, okay, let me think about this for a second. The Holy Spirit allowed my enemy to tell me what I need to do to leave me alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What I do is say, I shouldn't have to do that for you to leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jesus shouldn't have to get on the cross to save you. If my enemy tells me all I gotta do is X to get some peace, the X is done. I think the Holy Spirit got in him to test me, to see if my pride can be checked. A lot of times the people you think are enemies are simply checking your pride. And here you go. I ain't gonna let him win. How he winning and you got peace? How she winning and you got peace? I had to go through that myself.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna let them win. We gonna get over on me. Yeah. But the power is, you think you winning, but I done won.
Yes.
You know how I done won? Because the Lord let me hear what I need to do to let you make you leave me alone. And I'm gonna follow with the Lord. Yes, Lord. They think they done did something. They don't, I look at them, they scared of me. No, I ain't scared of you. I just want some peace from you. And if you tell me what I need to do and it's reasonable, I'm going to do it. See, don't let it overtake you. It puts you into pride, because it talks about pride. It talks about the haughty spirit and the destruction it brings, the pride when it brings, and then that pride thing makes you fall. Too many of saints are walking around with arrogance. As if you deserve to be whatever you think you are inside the visible body of Christ. It's a privilege. And guess what? God said he'd never leave this world without a witness. Which you better work on to ask your question, are you still witnessing for God? Or are you so privileged that it's all about you? Yeah. He said he will do it. You'll be able to do this thing. But see, they didn't. The Israelites didn't. They didn't know what you know. That's why he told us to look back and that these things were written aforetime for our learning, that through the precious endurance and the hope of the scripture, we might have this hope in us. The Bible in the Old Testament is our schoolmaster. And the biggest thing they should teach you is what not to do. Amen. Don't be like the Israelites. Even Peter and James, when they had the great conference in Jerusalem, when Paul came back and said, I got a problem. There's a band of Pharisees that are brothers. They're not here. They're brothers, but they just still hold on to what's dead. But they believe in Jesus. But they think it's Jesus plus. And he goes back to them. And Paul probably already knew the answer, but he went back to them to see what they say. Because he wanted to see where they getting this from. So they had a little meeting. And James and Peter basically got up and said, even our forefathers couldn't live under the yoke of the bondage of what we said we was going to do, follow the law. And if they couldn't do it and we couldn't do it, why do we expect them to do it?
Right, exactly.
They don't have the ability to do it. The law wasn't even for them. It was for us. So we're going to put them under something that we couldn't keep. What we gonna do is, I'm gonna put on you something that I'm not bearing? A rule, a regulation? No, you're free. But again, they took advantage, the Jews and the Israelites took advantage of their liberty. They played it too easy. They got overconfidence in their bloodline. In Hebrews, it tells them they didn't enter into his rest because of faith. They thought they were entering his rest just because I'm Israelite. And some of you think you're entering his rest just because you come to church. I know you do. You think you're doing God a favor by coming to church. I'm not saying church is a place you should go. Yes. And you should get taught the word of God. But coming on Sundays only, you ain't going to get it. That's impossible. I've been doing this for 15 years and I ain't got it. It's impossible. What we get here is a monologue of encouragement or correction or instruction. Yeah. It's in the classes when you dialogue and iron sharpens iron and people start talking to each other, then you can work some stuff out in your head that may not be false about God. God has no reason to give you peace if you're lazy. I want to quote my friend Gino with this. Am I right? But serious though. He don't lazy folk nothing. He call it being slothful. It's a sin.
Yes, it is.
Okay. If I said everybody get $10,000, I bet you everybody be here at 8:40. They be in line. And I say I only got $10,000, then y'all be out there fighting. Yeah. But think about it. LDE, life, death, and eternity. That's real. What I just told you is fake. But you treat the fake like it's important and the real like it's not important. Whatever you do on this life, you surely gonna die, and die is the gateway to your eternity. And what you do over here determines your life and where you be over there. So don't take your liberty lightly, because death is coming, guaranteed. And your eternity is written, guaranteed. But you have to make some good decisions over here for Christ. It's more than just walking up to a person and ask them, do you know God? Okay, next question I'm going to ask him, you know him? Good. The demons know him and tremble. Now I got to ask you another question. Who you following? That's who you get them. Oh, well, you know, I'm spiritual and, you know, the cosmos and, you know, then you find out they don't really believe in the God you're talking about. Then you ask them who are they discipled under? They think I ain't the follow no man. No, you supposed to be discipled under Jesus. See, there's a difference between believers, followers, and disciples.
Come on.
There's a difference. The demons believe in him, but the demons ain't following him. You see? So don't let a person off the hook with that statement about God. The Bible says they in their world, they got plenty of gods. Which one you following? That's not truly a God. Okay? But you walk up to that line, that leads me to that next thing. When you take your liberty in it, you're not liberating to God about it, you're going straight into idolatry. Go to Romans chapter 1. And start at verse 21. And although they knew him as God, they didn't honor him. Start there.
For although they knew God, mm-hmm. they did not honor him as God mm-hmm. or give thanks to him.
Stop. Although they knew him, he's talking about the Israelites. Paul is trying to explain to you what was happening with them. So you get the explanation of the Old Testament with Paul. Paul says, they knew God. But the one thing they didn't do, they didn't honor God. And neither were they thankful. You mean God fed you, God clothed you, God gave you water, God did everything to you, God kept you warm, mm-hmm. warm at night, and kept you cool in the day, and your shoes and clothes didn't wear out, and you couldn't honor him or give thanks to him? No, because I deserve it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take my liberty and say, you said I was your chosen people. So guess what? No matter what I do is important because you're going to keep your word. Well, we saw that God is faithful. Yeah, God is faithful to his word. And he did that in spite of the Israelites' behavior, their sinning, their rebellion. Because the point for the Israelites was to get to Jesus. To have the bloodline that would get to Jesus. All the brothers sinned. Judah wasn't no saint. But then he worked, he said the scepter of the kingdom is going to come through the line of Judah. You see, delay may happen, but God has already planned your failure, your fall, your disobedience, and your rebellion in his plan to do his will. Hey. So don't think you ever stopping God. Right. He already got you factored in. You already there. Your fall is already there. Yeah. What he's telling you is take heed. Think when you think you're standing, you might be falling. We don't want you to do like Adam and Eve and pull on your fall wear. You know. Read.
But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened.
Mm-hmm. And what happened? I say, watch this. When you don't honor God, and you don't thank God, your hearts become foolish. Your hearts become darkened and your mind becomes foolish. It's a progression. Mm-hmm. When you don't take your liberty to honor God, this is the progression. This is them taking their liberty and God saying, this is what happens. And this happens to you. It will happen to me if we don't take heed. Mm-hmm. Your liberty should be liberating you to follow God. Mm-hmm. You have nothing that stands between you and God but you. Nothing. Not your past, not your present condition, and surely not your future. But again, we are so used to letting that which we've been delivered from. The fact that you're here, if you're in the sound of my voice, you have been delivered from what you went through. Because what you went through was so bad, you wouldn't be here.
Amen. Amen.
You just still got the aftershock of it. Mm-hmm. And you hold on to that. Let it go. Yeah. I'm not saying it's easy. I don't know about, well, Pat. Man, look, let me tell you something. Just stop it. Okay, just stop it. Them are immature statements. Well, Bible says it's common. It's not special. He said it don't have to overtake you unless you let it. He said walk in the light as I'm in the light. I don't know what to tell you behind what God say. So it's up to you to decide to follow God or not. The Bible says also, why are they condemned? Because they don't believe. Well, they don't believe in the one true living God. They don't want their deeds to be exposed. That's why they walk in darkness. Your pity party is in darkness. It's not in the light, because if you let the light shine on it, God going to say, I died for that. Karen said, he died for that. And he rose so you could have power over that. See, the devil them thought, everybody thought, man thought it was over with when Jesus got crucified. But that was just a glorious beginning. Mm-hmm. And when he rose for your justification, he rose so you could be an overcomer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to learn how to walk in that resurrection power and believe that it's working through you. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be tested on that day in and day out. Read.
Claiming to be wise, they became fools.
Uh-huh.
And exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man.
Go ahead.
And birds and animals and creeping things.
So let's go to progression. You don't worship him as God. You don't honor him as God. Your heart and your mind becomes fools. And you're going to worship something. And you start worshiping dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Creeping things, animals, things made by the hands of man, which we're learning about in Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. Things that are made by the hands of man. You make a dumb idol. You warm your body with the rest of the wood. You cook with the rest of the wood. And you put the dumb idol up and pray to it as if the idol that you made that you cooking from is something that's going to save you.
Right.
And if it gets tarnished, you'll throw that one away and get another. Some of you do that. You throw that one away and say, instead of putting oil over my house, I'm going to burn some sage now.
Okay.
The devil ain't scared of no sage, y'all.
No.
If you really believe that, God help you. You end up burning down your house. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world.
Yeah.
Wherever you walk, you the temple of God. That's what the Bible say. So why are you burning exterior things when it's an internal battle going on with you to be the temple that God has called you to be so you could be the light of the world and his ambassador? Make it make sense. That's all you got to do. Start putting it all together so it can make it make sense. So your heart become darkened, and then you start worshiping any and everything. You can buy some crystals. You buy some sage. You buy some oil. You buy the latest guru book that actually puts you in more despair because it tells you 7 ways you did the 7 ways you still miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Check out anybody when they get time. Check out the rate of suicide for psychologists and psychiatrists. It's higher than the normal. Because what they do is they give you a false sense of you're great, you're fine, you're this, you're that. But see, you're none of that without Jesus.
Amen.
I need something bigger than me to handle me.
Right.
I don't need you to tell me that I'm cool living in sin.
Preach.
Because what's going to happen is I'm going to believe in you more than I believe in the God that wanted to deliver me. So I start worshiping, and one of the creepy things, we start worshiping is people. Keep reading.
Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity.
Stop. So God's judgment is, if you choose to do these things, I'm going to let you do what you do. I'm going to give you up to your own lust.
Mm-hmm.
And let you work through the impurity of your own heart. All because you wouldn't honor me, you wouldn't worship me, you wouldn't represent me, you wouldn't believe in what I told you about being an overcomer. You just want to wallow in your mess. You want to worship idols. But because you're doing that, you would have been giving up. See, let me tell you something, saints. Some of you may be giving up as you're sitting there. You don't even know it. Mm-hmm. What God has done is let you go ahead and believe that. Right, you want to keep believing you defeated? Go ahead. You want to burn sage and say you're a saint? Go ahead. Thank God that his salvation is not dependent upon our stupidity.
Amen.
He sees beyond that stuff we do, but he will give you up, and it's called a reprobate mind. He'll give you up, and you don't know when it happened. It'll be so smooth because you're still doing what you want to do from your pride. He'll give you up to so you can follow your iniquity. Go ahead.
To the dishonoring of their bodies
mm-hmm.
among themselves
mm-hmm.
because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator
who is blessed forever. Amen. So after you did all that, the progression, then you do the big exchange. You exchange the truth of God. You exchange this in for a lie. Because your heart is darkened because you didn't worship the God of the Bible. You did everything else but that. And now you get what you got. He let you go where you want to go. You exchanged the truth of God in for a lie. You say, here, what can I get for this truth? You get a whole bunch of lies. You get a whole, I can exchange the truth of God in for a lie. I can take his word and get some guru help. I can take his word and call Miss Rudolph. I can take, here, I can get this to you. Here, you take this because I don't really want this because this requires me to be faithful. This requires me to serve. This requires me to be humble. No, I want to be prideful. So can I exchange this for some pride? And the devil say, oh, yes, you can. So that's the response to the rebellion that's in us. That's response to taking your liberty too far. You walking too close to the flame. The Bible says flee fornication. The Bible says resist the devil, he shall flee. Y'all talking about fighting him. Trust me. When I read this Bible, you don't want to have no one-on-one with him. Because the last people that had one-on-one with him that I know of before Jesus was Adam and Eve. And he didn't fight them hard at all. He just appealed to their lust.
Yeah, that's it.
Their strong desire to not believe what God said. See? So that's our response. That's where you end up in Romans chapter 1. Okay, now go to Philippians. Chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5 through 8.
Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus.
Stop. Now think about what Jesus said. You know that you can, it doesn't have to overtake you, but he said there's a mind that you can have that's in Christ Jesus. The best part of your mind is in Christ Jesus. He said you can have it. You didn't earn it, he gave it to you. But you still got to develop it and mature it. That's your choice. It's like getting a chemistry set and it's yours for your birthday, but you still need to know what you're doing with it.
Yeah,
or you're going to blow something up. You need to kind of be taught how to, and see, that's what the word of God is. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate teacher, but you need teachers to come along because I tell you, you can't get away from teachers because that's part of the fivefold. And then secondly, in the epistles to the pastors, he said, Timothy, you teach faithful men that's going to teach other faithful men that's going to teach other faithful men the things of God. This is the handing off of what is true and not what is false. This is not by your own lonely imagination. There is no private interpretation of the word of God. Instead of trying to figure out what it means to you, you need to know what it means.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that again. It's trying to talk about what it means to you, you need to know what it means. Because what it means is good for everybody, not just for you.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
See, that's how you test it.
Yeah.
I done figured out something new. The Bible says ain't nothing new under the sun. Just because you don't know, it ain't no new revelation. It's you wasn't ready to receive it. He had to prepare your ignorant self to receive the light. Me too. When I'm talking, when I say you, believe me, this is what I had to go through. I had to put down my pride and my ignorance to follow the truth of God.
Amen.
I had to do that. I had to put down the little religion that I know so I could follow the truth and the spirit of God. I had to sit under a certain type of teaching to say, don't do that, don't do that. Don't do this, don't do this. Then I said, God, well, then we're not going to have church. He said, that's the problem. You having church versus being in church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
He said, my church walks invisibly out through the community. Uh-huh. Then they come together to worship to get re-energized so they can go back out and be my ambassadors. I say, we don't need to do that? No. We don't need to do this? No. You mean I don't need to start up 15 different kind of auxiliary ministries so we can figure like we're doing ministry and none of this ministry just fellowship? No, you don't need to do that.
Amen.
We don't need a bowling team. A walking through bowling team. Now, if you want to get a bowling team or walking through members, fine. But you don't get no t-shirt to say walking through. Amen. That ain't what we're here for. Y'all can enjoy each other's company without calling the ministry. The lunch crew ministry, please. Oh, Jesus. Read.
Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped.
So what he's telling you is, he didn't count his privilege to be prideful. Mm-hmm. Pay attention. He did not count it. What God is showing, Jesus is showing you, I'm Jesus, and I was humble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was Jesus. I could have. Mm-hmm. But that would have done you no good. Because I'm going to live an example for you. So I'm God, and I didn't use my prerogatives and my privilege to show off. I'm truly the gifted one, and I held back some of my gift so I could save you.
Amen.
He did not think it was anything wrong with taking a back seat. He didn't think it was wrong to let them think that they was winning. He like, y'all think y'all winning. I must go to be crucified. But Peter said, oh, no, not my Lord. I'm going to go with you to the end of the earth, even to death. And they all chimed in and said, yes, Peter. And the Lord just looked at Peter and said, poke thing, let me tell you what's really going to happen. When they come, y'all going to run. And then after you run, you're going to follow me from afar off. You ain't going to be close to me no more. Because you're going to be so scared. And I understand you being scared. But I'm going to tell you what you're going to do, Peter. That thing that you said wasn't from God. That was out of your pride. Mm-hmm. See, when you told them that I was the Lord and I was the Son of God, even I told you what Spirit told you that. The Holy Spirit told you that. But see, the Spirit hadn't dwelt in them yet because he hadn't died yet.
Right.
So the Spirit would come upon man throughout the Old Testament and do some great things. So when he said who Jesus was, that was a great thing by the Holy Spirit. But no sooner he said that, by Matthew 26, he makes a declaration. By Matthew 27, Jesus gets arrested. And now he tell Peter, look, let me tell you what you're going to say. You are going to deny me not once, not twice, but three times. And you know who's going to be your preacher? A rooster. I'm going to do a sermon the day the rooster preached. And Peter looked, can you imagine Peter looking at him like, okay, Lord, right. And then it goes down.
Yeah.
Okay? And what I'm saying, your pride will always put you in a situation that you will cross over the line. Okay? You always cross over the line because you think that you've arrived. This is a journey. He said that then we endure the journey. We are all still on the journey. None of us have got there yet. Okay? Read.
But emptied himself
mm-hmm.
by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men,
mm-hmm.
and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death.
There you go. Stop right there. He took on the form, not a king, but a servant.
Mm-hmm.
He took on humility and humiliation. He humbled himself. If the humble way is his way, the humble way has to be your way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Take the L to get the W.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what that likes in your challenges at today. Take the L to get the W. Let them talk about you and be kind to them. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Yeah. Too many scriptures in the Bible tell you what to do
yeah.
when being tested.
Yeah.
Don't curse back, bless.
Yeah.
Don't gossip, encourage.
Mm. Come on.
Talk about the good things of God. Collect this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. That's what he's telling you. You got it's there all for you. Right here. Okay? So Jesus humbled himself. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 and let's see some more about this Jesus who humbled himself for us to show us how to live like a servant. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Do 10 and 11 and go down to 15 and 16. Just do 10 and 11 and go down to 15 and 16.
For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his.
So if you want to enter God's rest, enter his rest from your works. Your works is not only your daily work and activity, but your works and from dealing with the world. It's like, look, you can enter into God's rest. You can have peace, but you got to work at peace.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the point where you know how to work that peace, you can have the peace that surpasses all understanding because you understand what you're going through in a moment is just a test and you're not going to be tempted to cross over to the other side. And you've been entering into this by what? Read.
Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience.
Oh! So if I'm striving to enter into God's rest, I won't be bamboozled. I won't fall. So he gave you another way that you can conquer, overcome, strive to enter into his rest so you won't be bamboozled and fall. Then he said what?
Verse 12.
Uh-huh.
For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
So, and then it also says somewhere that they could enter into his rest because they didn't enter in by faith.
Yeah.
It also says that they couldn't enter in because they didn't enter in by faith. See, you're not going to enter into the rest of God by works. You're going to enter in by working your faith. I know that sounds duplicitous, so that sounds kind of goofy because I said you don't have to work at it. What I'm trying to tell you is you build your faith by the testing that you go through and trusting God. My faith is stronger today than it was 15 years ago because God has tested me and I done failed and I succeeded. I done hit my hand with that hammer, but I know not to hit my hand with that hammer no more. See, God allowed you to get hurt in that thing you fall on, so you ain't got to fall for it no more. So why you keep going back to hammering the nail the same way? Marvin Ken, how can't they probably tell us that? I bet you they don't hammer nails like they used to. Look at their thumbs. If your thumb is flat as a pancake, you didn't get the lesson. You hammer that thing very good. Hey, and then you start stroking. You don't start off with pow. Bow, you don't do that. You got to start that thing. Tap, 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 tap. Yeah, because then you move your hand away. Because you've already tried it a different way. And it hurt. A lesson that is failed is a lesson that you're going to learn from. It's not about failing. It's about not learning the lesson and the pain that was caused by your disobedience and failure. They didn't enter in because they were disobedient. They didn't enter in because they wasn't faithful. All right, go ahead to 14:15. Go ahead.
Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who, in every respect, has been tempted as we are, yet without sin.
He has been tempted as you are, and he passed the test. And he's telling you, he understands what you go through. You ain't got to sit there and wallow in it. He ain't trying to trick you. What he's trying to do is let you depend upon him. He puts the test so you can turn to him and say, God, you are my Jehovah Jireh. You said you're going to provide me way to escape. I'm looking for it.
Amen.
I'm looking for it.
Amen.
I'm looking for it. You done put me in this dark room with the light at, Lord. You done put this thing on me, Lord. You done allow this thing to come on me. We're to escape, Lord. And I'm telling you, 99.9% of the time, the escape is just stop. Stop going in that direction. Stop being an enabler. Some of you are enabler to people, family members and friends who need to come to Christ because you're trying to be so loving and sentimental. They ain't came yet. So you need to do another program. Yeah, you need to do another program. Because all they're doing is standing in their sin because they know you're going to come running, rubbing their belly. He gave them a way out. The way out is you get out the way.
Amen.
Get out the way.
Amen.
If you told them about the truth of God, get out of the way. And you won't be stressed out. Just stop it. Quit trying to be their savior. I know it make you feel good. They want to call you because they think you got some connection to God. You need to check them right at the front end of it. Why you calling me and you supposed to know God too? I pray with you, but I ain't praying for you no more. Because you got to learn how to go to God yourself. I ain't got no special connection to God that you can't have. You ain't going to tempt me with becoming your God. See, that's a temptation to become their God. And you, they come to me and call me mom and call me dad. And you know, they think that, no, you need to stop that. They idolize you, become an idol to them. And it sounds good, but it's not God. You're not their God. You can't save them. Your job is to point to the Jesus that died for them. And the Jesus that's rose for them. And not walk up to that line where you become somebody's idol. It happens every day, y'all. It's common. Just don't let that commonality overtake you. So are you liberated to do what's right? Or are you going to still let your liberty be a liability? Or are you going to take your liberty for granted and not understand your liberty in Christ was given to you so you can say, yes, Lord? That's why I played that song. I can say, yes, Lord. Not my will, but let your will be done. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. Continue to bless us as we continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Let us use your liberty that you gave us to liberate ourselves from the things of this world, Lord. You say, oh Lord, that if we are friends of this world, we are enemy of yours. So Lord, let us not slip and slide into idolatry, but let us worship you and honor you so that we will not worship anything else but you. It's in Jesus' name I pray for all those around the world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We thank you guys for listening all over the world. We hope that you heard this, something that encouraged you, blessed you. Remember this. Always remember. Walk in truth. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. If this message has been a blessing to you, consider donating on your favorite platform. You can donate by looking in the description box and picking your favorite platform of choice, Venmo, Cash App, or PayPal. Continue listening. And your prayers are needed, welcomed, and appreciated.